wanted to speak a little bit to the mitzvah. Tochon. Trusting in Hashem. Now, a lot of people, there are a lot of mitzvah. Nyona mentions mindlessness. This is a say positive mitzvah given over that affects not just in an individual, in a separate action of a person. A lulav, you know, you shake a lulav once, and you're finished. But there's certain mitzvahs that affect not one action, you know, not a thousand actions, but affects literally the actions that we do. What we call mitzvahs that are kolel, a person, and change your whole world, you know, looking at life. And therefore, it changes how you do everything and how you do every mitzvah as well. So that's what we call a principle that's a kolel kol. One of these mitzvahs, trusting Hashem. Gaon writes that in Mishle that the Ikar Nisinas Torah of Yisrael, main giving of the Torah to people, was in order that sheyasimu bitchonam b'Hashem, that they should be able to put their place, their trust in Hashem. The Gamkein, he says, per achakach levenehem. There are two reasons Kadosh gave us the Torah. One, that we should come to trust Him, and the second thing, teach our children afterward. V'hu l'fisha ikar hakol hu bitochon, he says. Says the Gaon, this is because the ikar of everything, the point on which everything rests, man's ability to trust, bitochon hashalim, v'hu klal kol ha-mitzvahs. Says the Gaon, that bitochon is a mitzvah that includes all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And that affects, the person is able to trust, it affects how you do every, and it is at the same time a type of seed. It gives us the ability. He writes in another place, that it's a very famous Gaon that perhaps is one of the most difficult ones to end. I mean, they're all difficult. This is one that's said over many times and I never really understood it, but it's a Gaon that writes Gemara in Yoma between the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Shein. Says the Bayis Rishon, they were over in Gili Arayas, Varazorosh, because Domim says, but they had a Milo that they had a good heart. With all of the affairs that they did, their heart was still good. Well, I don't exactly know how a person affairs and still have a good heart. I've always had a problem on this. Gaon explains a little bit what's a good heart. He says a good heart means that they were able to trust in Hashem. That's what he says. That's what it means that they had a good heart. Think about it in a minute. Whatever that means in another shir. But he says, the Bayis Sheni, so their external actions were pretty good. They had all sorts of learning Torah and was everywhere, but their heart was bad. So the Gaon explains that here a little bit more. He says that what's the pshat, their heart was bad? So the Gemara says, Sinas Chinam, hated each other. And he writes that Sinas Chinam is something that's devastating. Heart disease is a very serious illness. It's worse than some problem with appendix. Then first, that's what we call heart. And we know, he brings down a Gemara that says that another klal, most important mitzvah of the Torah is we have to be a kamocha, kol gufei Torah tzliyimbo. So that's called a healthy heart. We have to be a kamocha is called a man with a healthy heart, able to love other people. Somebody who's not able to love other people, he has a diseased heart. We call that, you know, his heart is heart, wrong foods, you know, too much cholesterol, build up of plaque, you know. So, as a result, he says, Bayis Sheni, with all of their external mitzvahs that they were doing, but their heart was, they couldn't fulfill this mitzvah, they couldn't use it to care, love, any. Now, the Gaon, so far so good, that's sort of obvious here, but the Gaon takes it one step further. Why was the heart diseased? Why weren't they able to actually love and fulfill this mitzvah? Gaon adds, you know why their heart was diseased? He says, because they didn't have the ability to trust. Shekol hakinav hasina mimenu. Says all hatred and jealousy that you find in a human being comes because people weren't able to trust. Weren't able to do it. You know, how could you? This is another place, you know, Rav Vitali writes that he said many times that the last of the Asaras HaDibros, Lo Sachmo, he writes that in all of the earlier Ten Commandments. It's interesting, the first of the Ten Commandments is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's Mitzvah Vemuna, right? But the last of the Asaras HaDibros, Lo Sachmo, you know what Lo Sachmo? Thou shalt not covet. Covet, good word, I don't know why he uses that word. There's no English word, by the way. You don't use the word covet that expresses what it is. You know, covet, you want something that somebody else has. It's a word, that's what the word means. It's a good word. You know, you want something that somebody else has. You don't covet. covenant. You don't, there's no other word that envy. What?
Envy
isn't. Envy could be. Envy could be. Envy, you want to be like another person. Covet means literally you want something that somebody else has. And often because you have it, I want it, and I don't know. That's what the word means. Take that word out of the vocabulary. You just can't express the emotion. If you can't express the emotions, then you don't realize it exists. Right? It goes underground, which means that you can't control it. So see the power of take one word out of the vocabulary. The end of your abilities. The power of language. Keep in mind that when Anum Harisha was first created, he comes from wanting to name. Job, give us a degree that you can name things. That's the degree you can identify them and control them. If you can't name something, so then you can't use them. You won't know they exist properly. It's the power of language. Definition, recognition.
We were trying to come up in our Chavetz Chaim share. Like, why is it that Lashon Hara is connected to all the three, averas that you should kill yourself rather than Lashon Hara, Dafka, connected? Cool.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of discussion about it, a lot of information.
Yeah?
There's another shiur, so I'll go on another time. That's a good idea. But anyway, thou shalt not kill. So the Mefarshim explained that the first of the Yetzeres HaDibros is Emunah. That's a belief in Hashem. The tenth, that's really Bitachon. Because Tochan means, we'll speak about it in a minute, that I'm relying on Hashem is believing in someone. I can believe that you exist, but relying on something. And when a person is able to rely on Hashem, then he realizes, what is it that I am? Why should I want what someone else has in this world? Why should I want what somebody else has? Kodesh Baruch Hu, has given me all that I need. I told him in revolving. A person should be in the morning. Shall also be cold sarki. A person should have kavana. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me all that I need. I have everything that that's what we call. And as a result, why should I want something that you have? Hashem gave me all that I need. That's already called bitachon. It's a different one. It's a belief in Hashem. Pitachon is something a relationship with Hashem builds that says that Hashem is in care of relying on Him. And that's he says that attitude, which we'll see in a minute, that kohatz of all the mitzvahs. Now, that idea, before, I just want to give another introduction to what I want to do today. They say that the avos, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, so these avos, what was the chiddush of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What was the chiddush that they gave when we talk about what they did? We say, people often think, Avram Avinu's contribution to the world wasn't that he believed in Hashem, although that's true. Right, that he brought, but it was much deeper than that, really, because his chiddush wasn't wasn't just in the realm of that we're not atheists. Once a person isn't an atheist and he believes there's a God, that doesn't. He's just at the very, very beginning of Hashem. He hasn't hit Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael starts way after. Am Yisrael starts with the idea that I have a relationship in a very deep and personal way, and that idea is completely different than believing in Him as if He's there. Where are you? He's there. It's like all the cab drivers. I believe in God. I believe in God. What do they do with their life? He's there. I believe that He's there. Nothing to do with me, of course. I believe that He's there. They haven't hit the idea that it's not enough just to believe, but if He exists, therefore you have a relationship with Him. You're affected by that. You have a relationship with that God. And that relationship has to find a form and a structure. If you haven't begun to form a relationship with Hashem, so then you haven't begun to work on it. That's where Am Yisrael begins. It's the beginning of what we call real work on Emunah. Obviously, if you don't believe that He exists, then form a relationship doesn't exist. But we all know, like I said, with words, if you don't have a word for something, you don't believe it. You have to go. Once you know that there's a, that's where we begin to work, that we take. Of course, that's that where Avodas Hashem begins. Now, it comes out of Ravinu and says, to the world, that shows us a way that the relationship, not just that Hashem exists, but we have a relationship of love with Him. He not only loves us, so this gives to us for no reason, wants good for us. And we, as a result, have to respond by wanting good for Him, so to speak, giving back. And if you're able to build that relationship, I'm giving, right? People wanting to give nachas ruach to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's considered to be basic in a relationship of, I'm going to give Hashem nachas. He's done for me. What nachas does it get from all of the cannibals in the world? You know, as Ravda used to say, who does Hashem get nachas from in this world? From the cannibals? Yeah, the Gemara says there are certain cannibals apart in the world that they reach the high spiritual level because they don't sell basar adam in the window of the shuk. They only sell cow's meat. Basar adam, human meat, they sell under the table. So he says that's a matter of spiritual madrega, right? They don't sell it. I used to say it's a type of madrega, right? Just, I don't know whether that's going to be the nachas ruach that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give to the world when he created it. There'll be certain human beings. Yeah, there'll be certain human beings, yeah, who sell human flesh under the table. That's exactly, doesn't give it, it's not exactly what he had in mind when he created a human being, you know, the type of nachas ruach, camels. You know, and, you know, he used to say, yeah, think who, you know, that's a type of love, really. You want to give a person nachas, the Mesil Sarim writes, a person, son of nachas, way. So he says, think in the world, you know, who does a Kodesh Baruch Hu get nachas out of? Israel, people who are trying to find ways to come. Who does he get nachas? Anyway, Tzur, he says a person form a relationship of Av with Hashem, and when you do that, you have a relationship of Av with the entire creation as well. You love Hashem. You love all that He also. So if you're able to form that relationship with Hashem, so then it transforms your entire life. Your two relationships of Av. So he writes. Comes Yitzchak, and Yitzchak. He says you build a relationship in a different way altogether. That the relationship that we have with Hashem isn't one of love but of fear. But fear over here, Mesil Sharm writes, means what we call awe. Days of awe. You know what awe is? I was asking around today, I was speaking about the girls, you know. So people didn't really know what awe is. They know what awesome is. It's like American slang now, you know, everything is awesome, so it means nothing. Like good French fries are awesome. You know? I had these awesome French fries, you know what I mean? They were awesome.
Being awe is like when you have thunder, like, and lightning, like.
Again, if you lose the word, you access to the entire emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't know what awe means anymore, so then it's gone. If you don't use the word, the power of words is unbelievable, right? It's incredible thing. You lose the word, you lose connection to the feeling. You know, for awe is something that you can't talk about. You don't know what you're feeling, you can't label it. It's not like that. That's why some people, you know, find me a word that describes an intense religious experience. Yeah, find me a word to describe it. Baruch Hashem. You know, find me a word to explain, an intense religious experience. What word, what do you call it? Epiphany. It's not really, epiphany isn't really an intense
experience. No.
An epiphany is a...
It's like a clarity.
A level of a sudden understanding that changes your life. But it's not intense religious, say, mystical experience. What word do you have for it? What will you explain? It was something mystical, something transcendent. It's hard, you know, I'm saying, it's hard to find. Transcendent could be in all sorts of areas, not specific. It could be transcendent, gone above. So if you don't have the word, that means that as far as we're concerned, experience doesn't exist. Amen. Yeah, if the experience doesn't exist, so therefore you basically live without it. You won't be. So in Hebrew, you know, they have tzvekus. You know, they call that tzvekus in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Experience seems tzvekus. You know, it's dovek in Hashem. Whatever it is, you have a word to explain something. Then people like in the Hasidus living, they're always talking about tzvekus, tzvekus. So, but at least they have put a word, and if people don't talk about tzvekus, so then it just doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? It's very interesting. Everything is totally I was saying, you need a word.
But I mean, you don't have the word. I mean, in the English word, you may have it, but it's not really what it
is. It's a word. You have mystical experience.
I mean, you really can't get these feelings until you've been delved into Hebrew for quite a while.
That's the point I'm saying. That's exactly the idea. Lashon Kodesh.
I think I meant about English.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have even the English word, even. It's probably
starting? When are you starting?
It's probably true to some degree with English too, because I mean, if you're reading a book and there's certain word in the dictionary, like a vocabulary where they don't know, you kind of lose the feeling of the sentence.
Right. So anyway, is also Yitzchak. So he writes a person. This is also something that it's a relationship that we don't spend enough time building. You know? we don't use the word in our vocabulary very much in a proper way. Something is, you know, we have to say, look at something, you know, think about things until you realize that they're beyond the comprehension, almost transcendent, and you're filled with feelings, you know, that you're in the presence of things that are beyond, transcendent, beyond, awesome, wondrous. That's considered to be an entire relationship. I mean, when I was a kid, I played baseball park by my house. I started telling the story. I was, you know that park? They go, wow. So I said over the name. Anyway, once we were about, I think about 10 years old or something, we used to play baseball right once. And so we were playing, I was a good player. So we were playing in this little sand lot, you know, and there was a field. And there was a, you know, a little infield, and there was a big field afterwards. And way in the back of a basketball court. And we were playing, you know, we was hitting about 10 of us or something. And then one day, this semi-professional baseball player came. So he came down, he was the, he was like, you know, muscular. And he sees us, you know, little kids playing, go, give me the bat. And he picks up this. So he tells my friend Percy Cook, you know, throw me your best pitch. Okay, so my friend, a little 10-year-old, winds up and throws in his fastball. You know, he was a good athlete, just, and you know this guy takes it and he's waiting the thing and he throws in the ball and then he hits the ball. You know, and the ball, like, it goes, you know, obviously over the, you know, where we were standing, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it sort of goes over the outfields, you know, and this long outfield, we a ways back. And then it goes over the basketball courts, right, on the other side of the field. And then behind the basketball courts, there was a, you know, tennis courts, quite a few of them, right? It goes over the tennis courts, on the other side. Behind the tennis courts, there was this house, you know, that was the chain, right? It was a sort of a red roof, right? And it goes over the tennis courts, right? And it bounces on the end of the roof of this building, you know, way in the back, you know. And the guy looks, all of us would have bowed down. We could have easily slaughtered an animal, you know. And it's really, you know, the guy was like, wow, that was awesome. Beyond that a person could ever hit a ball like that. Like, we were trying to hit it 10 feet, you know, and fly, you know, he's it probably 100 yards.
Wow.
And he was saying, so he said at the time, anyway, that was like, you know. Anyway, that's something sometimes when you are, you know, in life, you get a feeling, got it. You get a feeling when you look at something, you feel that you understand things. You feel that, well, you know, I'm a wise person, a scientist, or whatever I do, you know, I understand how things work. And then all of a sudden you get at a certain time of vision into the truth of things, and you realize the complexity of the world, you know, the beauty of it, or the holiness, is something that's beyond, it's so far beyond what you thought it was. And it fills you with a type of awe that's, you know, that's could be, it's like right, that that's, it's a brought to the world that that's our relationship with Hashem in that way. It's we build a whole world. Comes Yaakov. By the way, these are, we said, the three young Tovim Yisrael. Who was this? Oh, yeah. Comes Yaakov Avinu and says, building a new relationship to Hashem. He said that a person has to build a relationship with Hashem on trust. Now, trust, you know, is a powerful thing. It means that I'm trusting. So we have to know over here, what exactly does this mean? Mean to trust. It's not so trusting. Trusting, we'll see. Now, so there's a Gemara about it. I want to ask you a little bit. Trusting means, the Gemara says, no, Tainus, there's a Gemara in Tainus that says that the Chachamim were stuck. What were they stuck on? They were stuck because they didn't know the pshat on a particular word. Says Pasuk in Mishlei, Hishlich al Hashem Yehovecha, Hu Yechalkolecha. Hishlich al Hashem Yehovecha, Hu Yechalkolecha. That means row. Hishlich means row on Hashem. Throw on Hashem Yehovecha. Now that's the word we didn't know what it means. Throw on Hashem something. Hu Yechalkolecha, and he will take care of you. Throw on Hashem Yehovecha. So the Gemara says, they didn't know how to translate this word, some sort of Arabic word, whatever, Yehovecha, Aramaic. They didn't know what it meant, so they had it on. They're trying to figure it out in the base Medrash, and they couldn't figure it out, but I could find out what the source of the word. And one day, one of the sages, Rabbi Bar Chana, the great, got it on. So, he was carrying a heavy load. Say you walk to the shul carrying back, you know, sacks of these white things, you carry those in the circulation in your fingers after a while, you know, right? You know, have one of those. Anyway, so he's carrying this heavy load of burden, And you know, he's walking, he doesn't think he can go any further. Until all of a sudden an Arab comes along the camel, sees him carrying this, and he says, "Hey," he says, "what are you carrying all these things for yourself for? You know, put on my camel and I'll take care of it. I'll carry it for you." And what's that? That's what he said. That was the finish. That was Benay. So he was like, "Sorry, Benay." And he didn't even ask for money. He was a person who normally would ask for money. He'd do it for free. I'll do it for free. A good hearted Arab. They exist. Good hearted Arab. But, yeah, before Intifada. Anyway, so he says that he just throw it on my camel and I'll take care of it. And when he used the word for your burn, he used the word Yehovecha. So the guy got all upset. I got it, Baruch Hashem. You know, I figured out what it means. Yehovecha. You know, back to the base of Medrash. Says the Gemara, Yehovecha means burn. Got it. Understood. And it says, Hitzlich al Hashem, Yehovecha. Throw on Hashem. You're a burn. Who you kalkulecha? And he'll take care of it for you. He'll take care of it for you. Now, the you're trying to find this Gemara? What's that? I can't remember which it is. Which daf it's on.
I'll find it.
You know where it is? So, the maybe it's in Rosh Hashanah instead of Tanya. Okay. Yeah. Now, the Gaon goes into this a little bit. Yeah. What's the idea behind this? Obviously, the Gemara, you can't let it go out there. They just didn't know the word. There's something deeper involved over here. That they had a question in general. A whole concept of tachan, what does it mean? He said like this, that first of all, concept of trust, as I said, what does it mean to trust in a person? To trust means that you're, as we said, this is what bitachan is all about, it means that you're relying on something. When we talk about trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that you're relying. Relying on a person means not just that you believe, but to rely on something that's very powerful. Relying means that I am relying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, so to speak, take care of me. And therefore, I will allow myself to be taken care of. It's called a relationship of trust. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he takes care of us, and we have a mitzvah to rely on him at that particular time. I'm relying. Now, this concept of relying, as I say, this concept of relying isn't so simple. To rely on a person that you have to build, I say, that's step number one. A person comes, it's like a person says, listen, how much do you believe? You need belief in a person. You know, fortune said, a person comes and says, I'll meet you. Yeah, 5 o'clock today, I want to meet you at Kikar Shabbos, 5 o'clock Friday afternoon. Yeah, I'll meet you there at 5 o'clock, okay? You have to do an errand together, something like that. Be there at 5 o'clock, okay? Now, it happens to be Erev Shabbos, you're busy. Maybe it's a hot day. But you go. You know, why are you going? Because you're relying on him that he's going to be there at 5 o'clock. What about if the guy isn't? You'll be disappointed. You'll be let down. You go out for nothing. What about if a person tells you that I'll be there at 5 o'clock, and let's say it's a person you don't know at all. Says, be there at 5 o'clock. So anyway, if you're in the neighborhood, you'll go. What about if person that tells you that you don't know, oh, what about if it's a day where it's very, very hot, you know, and it's tremendous, you know, it's a lot of tircha to go in that day. So after a while, you'll say, well, who's to say that this guy's going to be there anyway? I don't know him. You know, who says I can rely on him that much? You know, and you won't bother going. Trying to go. But if you know that, if you really believe that the guy's going to be there, you can't let him down. You have to go there as well. But you're relying on him that you'll be there. If you think about it, you realize that the basis of every relationship, is built on a concept of trust. It means that I trust that you'll say what you'll do, and based on that, you know, I act in a similar way. That's sort of the aleph beis of building any relationship. Now, a person who, as I say, in this world, this really, if you think about it, it's rather difficult to rely on people. You don't know, in the end, say that they'll come through for you or they won't come through. Who's to say that if they want to come through for you? Yeah, what is it? That's one of the main questions in life. What are you going to rely on? You have to trust in something. What are you going to trust when you're in trouble? Who are you going to rely on? So, you're going to rely on what? On other people? Even if people in the end, as I say, want to do good, often they can't come through for you. Like, you never know. Right? They're limited. They're limited in their desires. They're limited in their power. They're limited in their money. They're limited in what they can. So there's a concept, however, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has none of these limitations. And therefore, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, he can do as he says he'll do. But Hashem wants from us one thing. He wants from us to rely on him. And this relying on him is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to rely on him. Now, so he right. Now, over here in our Gemara, I'll go back to this in a minute. I'm going a little bit out of order here, but let me go ahead and finish with this Gemara, and then I'll go back. This Gemara is actually jumping to a higher level, that not only can you rely, there are two different types of relying. Not only can you rely on him for what he's promised us to do, but in life, a person, can fulfill the mitzvah of relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in areas where we live with an illusion that we feel that we have to do everything for ourselves. We feel, you don't realize in life, sometimes you feel in life, you go through situations in life whereby we have to carry very heavy things as a clown. Everybody, in the truth, nobody ever knows what other people carry in their life. You have no clients carry very heavy here out with them. Problems with their children, problems with their parents, problems with parnasa, problems with making a living, and you have no idea. And these things are very, very heavy to carry. I will give an example. And sometimes as a result, you feel like in life, I don't know that I'm going to be carrying them all on my own. Who's to say? And often we're in situations where we don't know in the end how we can solve our problems. Yeah, I want to get married. Who's to say I'm going to meet the right person? Who's to say that you're already met the right person? Hashem, now looks easy, but at the time, Who's to say you're going to meet the right person? Who's to say that this is going to happen? And you're in a fine situation, and it's beyond your power to know it. You get this person is not good, and that person. So often in life, we're in situations where things are too. I always say, you can imagine you're fine when you have children. You have five, how many children you have, Each one is a problem in itself. and try to navigate your way through the educational system here in Israel. With all the different problems and all the this Rebbe is, does this and this and this and this person has social problems and this kid stutters and this person is this and that. And then you have all sorts of things and then go and find them and find nothing to make, they're going to come die in poverty. What are they going to do with them? So, there are many, many difficulties. After a while, it weighs on you. Day and night. And so often, a person who says, carry everything. I wish you put, Hashem, too much for me to bring up my kids. Hashem, you take care of them. I'm going to learn. It's your job. I'll take care of them. I'm going to learn. Well, Hashem, it's off my back. I'm going to sit and learn. They're my kids? They're your kids as well? That's funny, right? However, you know something? It's famous. A person, Hishlich al Hashem, Yehovecha, throw on Hashem your burden, and I'll carry it. The person in life comes to a place where he says, I'm relying on Hashem to bring up my kids. He'll do it. What are you, who says you have to carry everything? Relying on Hashem. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you're potter from it and have to do the same as Thomas. But you're not alone in life. But it's a mitzvah. When I was on my wedding, when I got married, so I was very hungry. You don't eat them. I was hungry. And they gave me this little piece of chicken or duck or whatever it was at the time. I can't remember. Some type of bird. And everybody, I was about to eat it and everybody started jumping around or whatever. So I didn't have that much to eat. So finally, looked around and they took away I wanted something else to eat. So I don't know, I didn't find a waiter, so I went in the kitchen. And I went into the kitchen and I said, can I have another piece of chicken? So they said, who are you? I said, I'm the chassid, I paid for the wedding. I said, I'm the chassid. So the guy yelled and he says, you're the chassid. I said, yeah. He says, of course you have another piece of chicken. He says, but what are you coming to the kitchen for? You sit down and wait, it'll be brought to you. You don't have to come into the kitchen. I've been waiting long enough. I want another piece of chicken. I didn't know. I'm hungry. But all right, we'll bring it out to you. But I remember at the time, and Israel has a mind muscle about this as well. But sometimes in life, you feel like you have to do everything yourself. Sometimes in life, you don't have to run and do everything yourself. You can rely that they'll bring it out to you, You don't have to do some of these things. But over here as well, there's a yesod in life. Hishlich al Hashem Yehovecha, throw on Hashem. Which means, even mentally, you don't have to rely on Hashem, and He will carry it out for you in this world. He just wants to rely on it. How am I going to get back? Rely on Him. He'll help you out. It's beautiful. And there's a beautiful medrash about people. What is the power in life? It's the mitzvah. It's relying on. It tells a story about a thief. A person who's walking, and he's surrounded by thieves. He's going to kill him or whatever. So he says, leave me alone! I'm related to the king, mishpacha to the king, leave me alone. Please, whatever. They drag him into the king. I don't know how they did it, but I saw the story. So they bring him to the king. Say, is this person your family, relative or not? So the king looks and says, I don't know. How could you tell them my family? I don't know. The guy says to the king, I'm not lying on you to anybody. So then they're just, what can I do? I'm lying on you. If he's relying, how can I not? This is the gum. If a person in life is able to rely on the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the degree that he relies on him, that's the degree that he has more Hashgacha Pratis. It changes an entire relationship because you've entered into a relationship with trust in Hashem. Hashem, I'm relying on you. I'm relying on you to help me out. If he's relying on me, what can I do? Because they go, if a person, however, doesn't rely on, tries to do everything himself. You want to do everything, go ahead and try. But you don't have to do it. This is a God, a beautiful thing. In the base of me, there were kruvim. Now, you know what these kruvim were? There are these two little babies. So the Gon asks, what exactly is the image of kruvim? Why kruvim? Why little children in the base of me? What are we supposed to get from this custom? Says the Gon, somebody wants to ask the Gon. They were worried about this question of relying. So he said, what's the idea here of trusting? What level of trust should a person actually have? So the Gaon says, they asked him a question. So the Gaon answered that the pasuk in Tehillim, Im lo shavisi vidomamti nafshi. Says, what would I do if I wasn't quiet? My soul wasn't quiet. Ki gemula la'imo, like a child from its mother. Just as a child is quieted by its mother, so also my soul is with you, Hashem. So David HaMelech writes into him. So the Gaon answered that a child is nursing from its mother. It's not full of anxiety when it's with its mother. What will it tomorrow? What's going to happen? It finds a satisfaction and is completely content because it's with its mother. So he says that also a person in this world, so he's supposed to be with Hashem. There's a certain concept that who says I have to, when I'm young, who says I have to care of everything, rely on Hashem, right? As a result of it, I could reach a certain menuchas hanefer. And he writes, remember that Chovas Avovas writes that voda pitachon is actually voda in menuchas hanefer. It's an avoda needing a certain tranquility of spirit. Working. What are you worrying about? There's a God in this world who takes care of you. What are you so anxious? When people are overwhelmed with anxiety. I tell you, Eli Alapian used to say, you've probably heard this, it's famous. He used to always say that you're sitting at a bus stop, whatever, and he's, bus isn't coming. You have to get somewhere, so, what are you doing? Is it coming? You're all anxious, you can't. He's looking around the corner, where is it? Very anxious. Makes the bus. You're just working yourself into anxiety. Stop at that moment. Try to obtain menuchas and nefesh. There's a God in this, and I'm relying on him to care of me. It's called the low level of bitachon because you're not in any, nothing's going to happen anyway. What are you so anxious about? You have to, it's a mitzvah to be. Lord. And he says, that's the thing, when you're in a situation, anxiety, a situation of oppression, we don't know what's going to happen. So there's a mitzvah, stop, and going on Hashem to care, going involved in what happens to both. I'm relying on him. Staying. What's going to happen? And I was in Baltimore. So, Baltimore is one of the worst places to go out on Shidduch. The reason why it's so bad, which is worse,
you can't go.
That's right, and then maybe that's a mile. Anyway, I was just saying, the reason why Baltimore is a problem with Shidduchim is because you have to go to New York. That's the problem.
Wait, for the girls?
No, for the guys. When I was in the missionary, so everybody used to go to New York. There wasn't too many girls to go out with in Baltimore. So everybody would go. Now, when I was in Baltimore, Israel, all the guys would go over to New York.
Be New York has,
what's that? They do? That was one of Shane's. Baruch Hashem.
Because now they're actually, because there's so many girls who have rooms, they're off, Starkey's offering money to marry off girls in Baltimore.
Really?
$2,000.
Really?
For the person for the
top. Wow. Kidding me?
No.
That's the place to be. Okay. Change. When I was there, let me back when I was backtracking many years in time. When I was there, 20 years ago, and it was. There was no girls involved. I had to go to New York. So I remember I had one chavrusa go out. He had been already, going out for, a couple of years. And what happened was like this. you're on Friday afternoon already, Friday morning, driving Thursday of plans, you know, to figure out what to do. All Thursday, yeah, he wouldn't show up, you know, Saturday he has to make all these plans, meetings, you know, trying to find out which girl, the Thursday was lost day, you know. Friday he drives to New York on a caravan of guys up in there. They do that, this caravan.
Like, come on, guys.
Shabbos.
Wow.
Yeah, Shabbos. All right, you're there for Shabbos. Right. Sunday, you go out. Then Sunday night or whatever, you know, you drive back. You get back at, I don't know, 2 in the morning. You know, Monday, you're wiped out completely. You know what I mean? Tuesday, you start having to try to figure out who you're going out next week. So, you know, the guy, it's Bichlal, is literally, could be the end of your learning. No way, I always liked this. He was doing this for years. Mamash for years. I remember there was a guy who was also, I had two chavrus. Yeah, there's another guy who said to me once, he was also recently, but, so he said like this, he says, it can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to lose so many years of learning in order to get married. He says, it can't be. If he wants it, so what can I do? It can't be. Anyway, so he said, the main thing is Hashem wants me to learn. As a result, I'm going to rely on Hashem that I'm going to get married in the proper way. Now, I have to do his shtadlis. And he also went through the motions, he says, but I'm staying in Menuchas HaNefesh. Now, I remember, he says, I'm relying on Hashem, I'm doing what Hashem wants, I'm relying on him. Now, the two of them, first of all, were both doing the same act, but the attitude of both of them was because he was Menuchas HaNefesh, when he was there, he could learn. Which means at least 4 or 5 days that he was in there, Israel, he was learning well, and he was kind of, and the other guy, even when he was there, he was so worried about what's going to happen with him that he put straight. So it was that way. So that's point, one number one. Point number, he had Menuchas HaNefesh. Shachan is an avoda on Nefesh. It's a high level that we try to work on. Point number two was that the amount of Hishtadlus guy did, relying on Hashem, this other guy, because he was so anxious, he did much more than he had to. You don't have to call 10,000, you know what I mean? You don't have to check out, you know, because of his anxiety forced him or made him do too much, right? And since he did too much, result of that, he also wasted much more. He couldn't concentrate, did too much, more than he had to. It's like that when you want to make a living as well. Think of parnasa. Once anxiety gets to you, as a result, you do too much hishtadlus. The person who was able to fulfill his mitzvah of bitachon did a much lesser amount of hishtadlus, right? And as a result of that, also he was able to be more successful in other parts of his life. He did less. He also did hishtadlus, but less. Still did. You have to do. But he really did the right amount. The other guy did more than he had to waste. I'm not saying he did less. It's a higher level. I'm not getting to that. He did the right amount that he had to, but not more. That's a tremendous advantage in life. Not much, because you're overwhelmed by anxiety. And the third point was over here, that the guy who trusted in Hashem got married earlier. Now that third point, yeah, not all of us are on Madregas where, you know,
wait,
we should always,
got married earlier?
The one who trusted in Hashem, oh, yeah, he got married 2 or 3 years earlier. He didn't go out very long. Now you could say, Porsche, that, you know, Alpi Teva, he just like, you know, he just dreaded the process so much, because the first girl I meet, I'm going, you know, forget it. There's no way I'm going through this every week, you know. As soon as I find someone's going to say yes, it's over. You could say that. Or you could say as well that because this guy was the Menuchas HaNefesh, so he's a bit more attractive, you know. No person likes to go out with somebody who's sitting there and saying, what time is it, you know, like, I can't take it, you know. So there are all sorts of ways to explain this Hatzlach Alpi Teva as well. However, the Gaon writes that why are the Kruvim called, you know, Kruvim? He says that when a person is young, he's able to trust in Hashem like a child is able to trust. He says when people get older, they're disappointed in life. Somebody doesn't come through for them. You know, find a person who's has problems in Emunah. You know, really, he's a disappointed person. He feels let down. It's a clown, especially people who are religious. You know, people become more cynical. They relied on this person. They let them down. They feel this. And as a result, we get cynical in life, and we lose the ability to trust after a while. For various reasons. That's what happens to people when they get older. Young children are innocent. It's very difficult as life goes on not to get cynical. Young hearts. Trust in it. Because once they get this type of cynical, I can't trust in it. So what do people do when they say, I feel let down? I'm becoming independent. I'm only trusting in myself. I mean, that's what happens. You lose the ability to trust, like this girl that I was with the other day, whose father acted terribly to her mother, you know, divorced her and wasn't faithful to her. The girl said, you know, I'm having my own job, I'm going my own way, I'm getting my own career, you know, and I don't know if I'm going to get married, you know. I'm not putting myself in a situation dependent on it. Never, not trust. That girl is going to, you know what I mean?
No, she finds out wants to learn all day, she wants to work.
It still won't work. You know why? Because she's going to be, you know, looking over her back. You know, where were you today? You know, leave me alone already. Were you learning? How many hours were you learning? Are you sure? You know. So, bad wife. You won't survive. Yeah, that's called a problem. So, you know, she can't trust. So, in life, as we get older. As we get older, we can't trust. We lose the ability to trust. We rely on like only a child. So what do we rely on? We rely on ourselves. Take care of myself. I'll get my own job. I'll do all these types of things. So you're trusting yourself. Very good, yeah. And you can do a good job in yourself. You're trusting in yourself. That's what we do, as if that's going to help. You know? So we trust in ourselves. So Kodesh Baruch Hu looks, the gun rises, and says, you're trusting in yourself. It's all right. Take care of yourself. That's all you're relying in. All right. If you can't trust me and you're not relying on me, so then you'll take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Hashem removes. All you're relying is on yourself. So all right, you rely on yourself. So then let's see how you do. You can't do things for someone who's not going to trust in you, and therefore the person loses hashkocha pratis. So he writes, this is the yisod of the kruvim. The yisod of the kruvim is that a person has to be like a young child, trusting in Hashem. And the other kruv over there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is also in a certain sense almost like a kruv, who has this complete trust in us. I have to speak about another time, this is a deeper point of view. But anyway, so he writes, that's the concept of the kruvim. And if a person has that simple trust, so the two of them look as if they're hugging, change in Hashkocha Prat, different type of... So a person has Menuchas HaNefesh, he does less Hishtadlis, and in the end, not only that, but more Hashkocha Pratis in his life, because he's fulfilled the mitzvah of relying. And we have to work, that's the mitzvah, with rely on, and he'll carry things for rely on him. It's a mitzvah that when we're in a situation of difficulty, to stop and remember that God in this world takes care of us, and we're going to rely. We're not talking about the level that we do less, we do the same amount of Hishtadlis, but how we do it, in fact, not the same amount, but we do Hishtadlis, but we take care of ourselves also, but at the same time, I'm relying on Hashem. What did you want to ask?
How does one make the request?
You know, it's very interesting. Chazal tells us that Tefillah, the Maharal writes, we'll speak with us next time, but the Maharal writes that all of B'tochen is a type of Tefillah, he's saying. It's really a Tefillah to Hashem. And he says that the whole reason why we ask the Bikashas to Hashem isn't really because we expect to actually demand whatever we feel that we need. The reason we ask is that it's just a way of showing Hashem, drawing Him for all that we have. So he's learning that tefillah and bitachon are two sides of the same coin. When I say, Hashem, you know, please give me wisdom, it's a way of saying, I'm relying on you, Hashem, to give me. I need. And dafka, the whole concept of tefillah is that in the end, it's as if we realize we're completely dependent. That's something Maharal learns. Yeah, that we're completely dependent on Him. Therefore, we're turning to waiting, you know, relying on Him. That's how he learns. So he says that Maharal, it's the opposite of what people think, you know, the precautions is I'm demanding. It's not that. It's a sign of trust and reliance.
Someone could ask, like, you know, please, like, I need more money to live. Like, please give me money.
Right.
With Zafran, it's like, you know, you're giving me exactly what I need anyway. Like, I know Hashem is giving me exactly what I need. So what am I asking?
What you're asking is you're basically saying, Hashem, I'm relying on you. I can't do it myself. I'm relying on you. That's really what you're doing. It's really not like that. So you're not saying, you know, this is what you give it to me. That's called gula. So it's really an exercise. Anyway, but that's the mitzvah. So there's a mitzvah of bitochan. I wouldn't tell you the source. I forgot to tell you the source. I'm talking about from Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokech. Simple, like a child before Hashem. Tamim child, like Tamim Tiyem. And that mitzvah is a mitzvah that changes how we do everything in life. Teach us to trust. It's one of the most important things that a person needs to do in to trust other people, as we're saying. To trust Hashem is very powerful and basic building our relationship. And when we're in a situation, even an easy situation, we try to reach a higher level than by remembering. Mitzvah Hashem wants us to work on that. It's a high level. It doesn't come easily. Mitzvah. Okay.